Dearest friends, do you ever wonder, who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? Why do I keep repeating the same patterns, and how can I change them? Why am I free from being able to have the life that I've always dreamed of, and what is stopping me from having this? How do I meditate? What is an aura, and how do I see one? How can I come to a sense of well-being physically and spiritually, always? How can I remain in a state of absolute love, that soulful love, felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness in life continuously? Dr. Patty Dunn and Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Rememberings of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month, where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe through iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
Thank you. When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing.
Okay, this is Dream Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
So our EMF meter started to go haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Yeah, we're trying to do this right.
The headphone amp would have been twice as big as that board, our travel board.
It's just a rack mount. It might be something we might want to take into, maybe want to use next time. Because it's kind of, yeah, you guys can't hear this out in Radio Land and all that stuff, but, you know, we're like trying to hear ourselves, and it's pretty much non-existent. Even with the keys, you don't even need the headphones, really, because, I mean, we just barely hear ourselves in the thing.
I can hear the music.
I heard the tapping.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Did you hear
that?
Yeah,
I hear the tapping.
You know, I've always... Okay, that's a whole different discussion. That's something...
Evidently, they're wired together. We're broadcasting live from the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008 at the Garden City Historical Museum in the Strait Farmhouse in Garden
City,
Michigan.
We're in the
dining
room, actually. This is where we're at. Tom's taking pictures of it right now. And
yes.
Of how we're just hanging out here. And this is like, it's really kind of like this weird juxtaposition of like history and technology. Let us know real quick. I'm sorry, Doug, but I really want to know from people out there. You know, I want to start doing more remotes like this. I want to start, you know, getting out of the studio, cruising around, going to places and doing this stuff. I want to get some feedback. People email us at ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com, Scott L at ghostlytalk.com. Let me know how it sounds. If you think this is going to work, it's something we want to start doing some more of.
Right. And meanwhile, we're going to keep talking to the incredible speakers from the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008. And here's one now.
Wow!
Keith Norton has
Jeepers, Bonnie, did you see that?
Oh, he's totally snuck up. I'm so scared. Yeah, now
hero.
Read the bio, Doug.
No, I read
hero,
all
right, hero.
All
right. Yeah. Come on, rip, Doug.
Keith Norton has been working on his mediumship skills since age 12. He's trained in Reiki and has achieved a level 2 status, whatever that is. I don't know. It sounds really good, though.
I love the pizza sauce in your notes, by the way, too.
Thank you. He does private readings, phone readings, and private parties. He's been in the Michigan Ghost Watchers since 2004 and is an experienced investigator. His website is www.voicesbeyond.net. And why haven't you been on Ghostly Talk before? I mean, local Michigander.
Because he's heard the show.
Oh, well, that could be, too.
No, I don't know. I'm just now, I've been doing readings professionally for 5 years and really getting in the speaking circuit over the last couple of years. You know, I've done a couple conferences up in Marquette. And this is really the first one locally that I've actually spoke at.
Well, I'm really, really glad. I'm really glad that you chose to do the conference. And, well, I mean, although Cindy probably had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, by the way, Keith, you know, you're speaking,
right.
You're doing readings,
right.
You're going to do the whole thing, right?
She asked me, and I said, yeah, I would love to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to obviously turn into a money-making venture, but... you know, I'd love to tour and do, you know, eventually write a book and speak at conferences,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you asked me in high school if I was a public speaker, I'd be like, oh, no way, you know. So it's kind of a different venture for me, but I like interacting with the people.
Yeah.
You know, I like seeing different faces coming out to these, and, you know, we've got people in from Chicago, and we've got people from across the state, and it's cool to see the friendships that are forming.
I saw the Northern Michigan paranormal investigators, or from Northern Michigan. I've seen, you know, folks from Chicago. There's people from all over come here to Garden City, Michigan. I mean, Cindy did a total, and of course the Michigan Ghost Watchers, you know, did a bang up job on the conference, I think, and so you chose a good one to cut your teeth.
Yeah, this is a really good one.
I'm telling you,
for sure. Well, like I said, you know, it was kind of funny. A couple of years ago, I spoke up in Marquette. And that was a venture that I helped put together. It was a friend that I met through a Yahoo group and went up there. And
oh, you met through a Yahoo group.
Oh, well, that's history.
And then, you know, they had me up there, and the lady that drove us around was a total skeptic, and it was fun to, you know, see the look on her face when I was pulling information that nobody else really knew except her.
Yeah.
And, you know, they told me, hey, would you be interested in speaking? I'm like, sure, I'll put together, you know, a ghost hunting not really a course, but a speech. You know, I covered like some battles in Gettysburg and talked about what makes a place active mm-hmm. spiritually. And we didn't expect a huge turnout. This is November in Marquette, you know. I walked into the room expecting 20, 25 people. I'm cool with that. You know, here's mm-hmm. there's 80 people in there, and I'm just like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? And I'm like, and you know, I got up there and I did the icebreaker and nailed the speech right out, wasn't the least bit nervous. It flowed, you know, and it was great. And ever since then, it was like, it's almost a rush when you do public speaking.
Oh, yeah. It's,
you know, you get the
jitters.
For us,
it's a rush when they rush the stage to kick us out.
Yeah.
That's a rush to get out right out the door.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I came away and I was like, wow, I guess I just needed that to prove that I can actually do that, you know.
It's not easy. I know I can speak from experience. Obviously, I know Doug can and Bonnie can, you know, doing the show. I know the first time we ever sat down to try to knock this thing out and try to do a radio show.
Oh.
We were like, I was butterfly. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. How do we do this thing? And, you know, it's something you've got to get you. It isn't something, you know, and they, I know in college they do have public speaking courses.
Right.
And I took them and they were hilarious. And, you know, but I don't really think you can learn how to do stuff like that unless you really just jump in head first, bang your head against the wall, and just hope for the best. That's how it works the best for
right. And it also helps to have a genuine interest in it. You know, I mean, if it's like ghost hunting and investigating and the paranormal is something that's near and dear to my heart, so it makes it really easy to put together an hour-long speech or seminar, you know, and it's you can knock it out relatively quickly, you know.
Yeah. And, it's when you're passionate about something, it's going to come natural, too.
Right.
And, I mean, going around and seeing people speak, we can, you know, it's easy to tell the people who are very passionate about this, you know, and who really have their head in it and really want to learn something or trying to convey some information to people, too. So you can feel that come off of people.
Right.
So that's,
right.
That's the biggest thing. So it's something, again, you just have to get your feet wet and do that. So kudos to you for getting
out there finally. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen that in all of the speakers here at the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008. There's just a passion going around the whole room. The whole conference has been incredible. Give us the dish on the Michigan Ghost Watchers. Tell us all the dirt.
I'll give you all the dirt on ghostly.
Oh, no, that could go on for hours.
Well, I mean, there's a novel on it.
Yeah, there is a novel in the works.
We've got some, you know, good investigations coming up. We're looking at Gettysburg. We're looking at.
We don't want to talk about the investigations. We want to talk about the dish.
Yeah, who's sleeping with who?
Yeah, come on.
We're just kidding.
You know, we visited Waverly Hills, spent the night there in April. That was
very
incredible.
Cool place. Yeah.
You know, I've been a medium probably, I would say, my whole life. I mean, there was a time where I was closed because it was, you know, what I was seeing was always my imagination.
Right.
You know? And took me a little bit to open the door back up, but, you know, there was one point we were coming out of the bakery on the second floor, and I'm walking down the hall thinking I'm talking to Juan, and I'm like, I see this guy standing next to me, turn around 180 degrees and zip the other way, and I turn to Juan, and I go, where the heck are you going? And Lon comes walking out of a room going, I'm over here. Well, who are you talking to? And I go, well, I guess I really don't know. All I know is he's wearing a plaid shirt, and as soon as I addressed him, he turned around and walked away. I mean, just cool experiences the whole night.
So you thought this...
That's what we've heard of at Waverly Hills. I keep hearing repeatedly over and over again. Even Carol from Chicago mentioned Waverly Hills, that she had experiences. Everybody's got these wild experiences from Waverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. We were there back in February of this year. The two of us, Brian and I, have been there twice.
Was my first time back in February.
You want to hear something? We went there with Guar. We walked around Waverly Hills with the band Guar.
Oh, cool.
And it was
so
hot.
I'll tell you all about it after the show.
On the surface of the sun.
It's a long, drawn, it's an insane story. I'll tell you about it after the show. Crack up. But no, we've been there twice, actually, and we were there back in February with Todd from Nightwatch actually brought us out, invited us out as his guests, and treated us very good. We had a great time. I don't know if we stayed till about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and didn't really see anything ourselves, you know. But that's not knocking anything. I mean, it's just an honest opinion. We didn't really see anything crazy. Doug, what about you? Second, my watch on the table.
Yeah, thank you. it was a really fascinating place. I didn't get any
amazing structure.
I didn't get any, I was so tired that I couldn't, it's never good to go ghost hunting when you're either tired or sick.
No,
I know that. Yeah. And I was so tired, but it's really, for me, a once-in-a-lifetime, opportunity. So I went anyway. So, I was just closed off to anything. I made sure not to...
Right, and with,
myself.
You know, as you've commonly heard throughout the conference this weekend, ghosts are unpredictable.
Yes.
They don't play out when you want them to.
Right.
You got to be the right place, right time. And, while I'm sure, you might not have experienced anything, it doesn't mean that it could have been flat that night in general.
Well, there may have been, there were
exactly.
a lot of people
getting... I'm not saying that someone else didn't experience something that night.
Right.
I heard right. stories from that night from other people who experienced it.
But I think I was there that night to talk to a guy who actually, I ended up talking to a fellow who lived in, he rented the Sally House.
Okay.
And the Sally House, from sightings,
right.
and we went there once.
Atchison, Kansas.
It was really good. We told that story last night.
Yeah.
When we were speaking.
And I met a guy who just unknowingly, he's like, oh, an ad in the paper, oh, I'm going to rent that house, and he rented it, and then, woo. So that's why I think that, if everything has happened for a reason, that was the reason that I
true,
was there that
true.
Night.
Not everything has to have
guy.
A ghost attached to it.
And
right.
Yeah, and so I was there to talk to... As I knock my...
Okay, it's my turn. What shall I do now?
I told you guys out there this was going to happen tonight. We're on a rickety table.
Yeah, and we've never had microphones in front of our faces before, so we don't know how to act.
We don't know how to act.
We're used to the comfort of the winery to keep us... that's
yeah, these walls are white and pretty.
Your website is voicesbeyond.net.
Yes.
What can I expect when I go there?
I have, my bio, of course, some past media events. Right now, I do have an events section. I took it down because I really haven't done any speaking engagements or, readings for the public in a few months.
Yeah.
But that's going to be back up shortly. Hopefully, I'll start doing some circuits again and getting more speaking engagements. Most of my stuff over the last few months has been phone readings.
Mm-hmm.
I have some recommended books out there on a variety of subjects, from spiritualism to psychics to psychic development to chakras. I do a lot of energy work, so there's books that I personally have read and recommend out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a fact section of, how to get a hold of me, how to... I don't even, to be honest, I wrote this section so long ago, I don't even know what's out there, so I'm drawing a blank.
It's like our website.
Yeah.
Hey, I got pages, got that stuff.
What? I have some good links, too, to some other websites, other groups. There's a couple fun things out there that I put out there. There's a psychic development website out there to see how psychic you are.
And
of course,
I felt like
I had to put a disclaimer out there, like, this isn't to prove or disprove that you are psychic or not.
It's fun.
It's just computer generated.
Go start up your own caller line after this thing.
right.
Give you a gauge, let you know where you're at.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, well, I mean, that's, I try to keep it updated, and it's a work in progress.
I have to ask, obviously, the big news, what's hitting CNN and MSNBC and what's that other one? Fox.
Thanks for tipping all three of those stations.
There you go. Well, I wanted to be fair because I didn't want anybody
to... Why don't you give their websites out, too?
Anyway, what's been hitting the big news lately is, of course, the economy. Politics, but I ignore that completely. So the economy and how absolutely horrendous it is and how the Dow has, like, the stock market has absolutely plunged and we're in, like, the 8,000s instead of the 10 and 11,000s.
Right.
So, oops, that's a big news story, right?
Right.
Do people tend to start thinking, because that's obviously, I would call that dire times. Because, you know, you look at your 401k that you've worked your entire life for, and it's half the value or whatever. So you're, people are probably,
we had this conversation at the Chinese restaurant last night.
I think so.
When I was Amber was actually grabbing my arm, like checking my pulse, and I was getting so angry.
I would call these dire times. So are people starting to look into themselves more instead of, like, okay, because obviously they're not going to be, oh, I want the new Lincoln Navigator, oh, I want the new this, or I want the new that, or a big boat, or whatever. I think people should probably think about staying closer to home, looking at the person they're either married to or engaged to or whatever, or living with or going out with on dates, look at them across the table and say, you know, hey, how are you?
Hi.
And actually talk. And
I'm good, Doug. How are you?
Okay, that's creepy.
Fantastic, Scott.
Hi,
Doug. No one ever asks me how I am.
Amber's going to be so jealous.
Do you want alone time with him, too?
You weren't here for that.
Let me dim the lights and I'll leave it at that.
Wow. This show. Are people doing that? Are people pulling into themselves and learning about themselves more? Are they coming to you for more advice and guidance? So what's happening
that? It does pick up. It's also the time of the year. It's Halloween.
That's true.
You know, coming up. So, yeah, it does ebb and flow. I mean, you know, when the times are like they are now, people tend to become, like you said, more introspective, I guess, and looking into themselves and what changes can I make and, you know, just reconnecting, basically, you know, with themselves. So I would say, yeah, I mean, I notice it now, and it probably is probably double right now because it is Halloween, so it is a season when people are starting to, you know, go to the haunted houses and ghosts are, you know. I saw it back in 2000, too. You know, it seems like that people are always coming back to, like, the spiritual side or, you know, religion, and just the taking care of number one, you know. So it does. It helps because people, you know, are realizing that the economy, they have to lean on something, you know, to get them through.
Well, I'm glad it happens sometime. I mean, I'm not glad that, you know, there are dire times and the economy's, you know, going out the window. I'm not happy about that. But I'm happy that circumstances are such that people are going to start thinking about themselves and learning about themselves and trying to...
People should have been doing that in their Escalades a couple of years ago.
Yeah, right. I wonder...
They should have been doing that in their economy car.
Instead of buying the Escalades and the, you know, H2s and
I don't want to get on a soapbox, but yeah, that we are in dire times, like you said, yeah. Doug. And, you know, people were living high on the hog a couple of years ago, and now all of a sudden... And I'm not knocking them for it, but yeah, I need to look in. Okay, that's all fine and dandy when you had the work and the house and the car, you know. I guess people need to do that. They want answers, and I'm sympathetic to that. But I've been trying to look in for half my life here, you know. And soapbox, I'm off. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm not running the show. I'm just asking.
No.
I just think
that that's, you know, that somebody, but, you know, it's what's going on. And that's half the reason, I think. I have to do ask Keith a question, but not. Like verbally, can you read that?
Doug, you and I will talk amongst ourselves. They're writing notes like it's third grade.
A radio show, and they're
I know
talking amongst themselves via.
I want to read it. I want to see it.
Keith, what are you doing after the car?
Do you have a piece of gum for everybody in the class?
It is. I think. Keith, I think we've noticed this.
Did you hear what he whispered?
Yeah.
Apparently
he's getting the candles and the light and the alone time.
They'll wear out. They're like tired down. I know.
It won't happen. Not likely.
No, we've been noticing this. You know, with the paranormal itself. I mean, just the broad strokes of the paranormal. We've been talking about it since 2003. How we've noticed you know, it getting, you know, bigger and bigger with the media stuff, which is a given, and just with, I think, general interest maybe as a result of media, but I think it's just people who are looking for answers because it is a tough time with this country, I think, with this world right now. And, it's good to see people step forward, but, you know, I think it's something people personally should have been doing for a very long time. So, good right. for you. You're right. going to learn from that. You know, right. That's just my personal opinion. And I'll get off my soapbox and knock the microphone
and
off.
And again.
Doug, my
over.
Turn.
Take over, Doug.
There.
Oh, all right, get your microphone.
You got to do it. That'll
okay,
make
that's
for
enough.
The noisiest show we've had in a long, long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, well, it's
we've
fun.
We'll have to hang them from the
We're screen. Having fun.
You do. We've talked about some of the ghost investigations you were on. And you obviously work from more of a spiritual side of it. We only got a couple minutes here. But
yes.
You work from the spiritual side of that. And there's, I've heard people, like, knocking heads all weekend about this, too, as far as, you know, we've had people like, you know, Chris Bailey, for example, who was just here a few minutes ago, who talked about, I mean, he is a strict scientist. I mean, he is like the zeros and ones kind of guy, where you're coming from a completely different spectrum. Now, as a medium, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but what do you think as far as ghost investigations is concerned? You know, should there be a, you know, what do you think?
I like the way he's practicing his psychic side. He thinks he knows what your answer is going to be.
Well,
you should have written it down and sealed it in an envelope.
Right. Well, yeah.
And
so,
then I
yeah,
could
so,
check
like,
it later.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we tend to get... it kind of covers the other side of the coin, so to speak, because we tend to focus really on the scientific aspect of it, but we forget that these spirits that are roaming these places were once people, too.
Yeah.
And they have, like as Lon said in his genealogy seminar he just did, that you know, you can really research and become familiar with the people and learn about them, and you know, having a medium doesn't hurt that. You know, because I can pick up stuff that's you know, being imprinted in the air. I can interact with the spirit. I can, you know, get them to react to stuff. And, you know, through asking questions, I can prompt EVP, you know. But as far as the spiritual, I mean, I look at it as these are people's loved ones, whether they're, you know, like in the Strait farmhouse, Ralph, the son of Charles Strait, died here when he was 14. He's still here. Because he's not our family, he's somebody's family. He,
right.
You know, he was somebody's son. And that's how I look at it, and that's how I've always approached ghost hunting. You know, there are places that are creepy, and, you know, you can have fun with that.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to actually going into a private home to figure out who's there, a lot of people want closure.
Right.
You know, and a ghost will do that. A lot of times a ghost will make himself known until he's heard or she's heard. You know, and once that ghost is heard from, they simply go away. You know, you can stop a lot of activity by having a medium come in and make contact with it. And, of course, you know, try to send it to the light if that's what, you know, you feel is necessary.
Yeah. What I think happens with a lot of groups, and we, like, have to go to break here, like, really fast. But I think a lot of groups, you'll get groups that are just, like, one side of the coin or the other, where they're not concerned about helping a spirit. Right.
Right.
They just want to get answers.
Get in, get the evidence, get out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. And then you'll have people that's their primary concern is helping people. And then you're going to have them yelling, well, you know, not documenting this properly on your notepad or something like that.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I think it's safe to say, you know.
Your time wasn't synchronized. Speaking of time.
Yeah.
Keith Norton, your website is www.voicesbeyond.net. And, of course, we'll have that linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Perfect.
And,
thanks,
and,
Keith. Yeah, thank you.
Psychic medium and ghost investigator, which is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I want to say, Ralph, if you're here, you know, we do have a lot of microphones. We're recording. This is also streaming live over the internet right now to tens of thousands of people. If you have anything to say, you know, after the break, come on in.
Ralph would probably go, what's the internet?
There's not enough drama on
like,
the show.
Is this
We've not been dramatic
thing.
Enough, apparently. We're
yeah.
being told we need to mix it up a little bit.
And actually,
one of the guests more, we do all this stuff. This is the feedback we're getting from our opinion polls, you know,
yeah,
all that, all
yeah.
that demographic crap that we do. Yeah, right. Anyways.
I'll take that to corporate,
this
too.
Is
I'll make sure that corporate's happy
yeah,
with that direction.
This
yeah.
is Ghostly Talk. I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L. We'll be back right after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day. www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Are you looking for Halloween decorations and collectibles? San Diego Paranormal is an affiliate for Sideshow Collectibles and Collectibles Today. From the Munsters to Scary Movie and even Pirates of the Caribbean, we've got you covered. How about a statue of Elvira for your desk? Please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Sideshow Collectibles and Haunted Collectibles on the left-hand navigation bar. The first trailer to A Haunting in Connecticut has arrived, providing a chilling sneak peek into the horror thriller. The brand new video begins with an explanation from a woman that her family doesn't deserve what they're about to experience. It then continues with one family's search for a new home in North Connecticut. However, the new suitable and affordable house they get soon turns into their worst nightmares. The Campbell family is an ordinary family like any other. When the family finds out that Matt, one of their family members, is diagnosed with cancer, they move to Connecticut in order to get him a better treatment. Settling down in a new home, they are soon disturbed by paranormal activity possessing the house and thus seeking help from a priest. But the situation suddenly goes even more out of control and puts their lives in grave danger. Starring Virginia Madsen, Kyle Gallner, Martin Donovan, Amanda Crew, among others, Haunting is said to be based on the story of the Schnedeker family alleged encounter with the paranormal. The flick, which is yet to have its official release date, is slated for 2009 release. It's directed by Peter Cornwell from the script by Tim Metcalf and Adam Simon. Here's a clip.
Why do bad things happen to good people? You're just a regular family like anybody else. We didn't ask for this, and we didn't deserve it. It's perfect. It's spacious and affordable. I'm just wondering, where's the catch?
Well, it does have a bit of a history.
Matt, did you find a bedroom? Down here?
It's nice and it's cool. Everything's back now.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Who put these things under the floorboards?
I've seen this kid almost every day since we've been here.
You're scaring me.
We'll join the club.
Check it out. They've held seances in this house. People not only contacted the dead, but made things appear.
There's something in this house. Something no longer living and not yet passed over.
What happened in the house?
Something evil. And it wants your son. You must get out now.
Matt! I have to get my son.
CBS's new drama series, The Mentalist, has been picked up for a full season. The show, which stars Simon Baker as an investigator who uses his paranormal abilities to solve crimes,
has emerged as one of the most promising new series this fall. 9 new episodes have been ordered. Battlefield ghosts are still soldiering on. According to Beth Brown, there are those who simply can't let go of the Civil War. In this case, though, they have an excuse. They're ghosts. If you accept the premise that ghosts are people who died suddenly and thus don't realize they're dead, it would only seem logical that Virginia's Civil War battlefields would be very spirited. Confederate General John Mosby was known as the Gray Ghost. Now, apparently, he has a lot of company. Brown, of course, immediately wanted to find out what all the fuss is about. She's still trying. She considers herself a hopeful skeptic. Brown says we all have this intuitive side to us, and we can all tune in on the cues if we learn what to look and listen for. Like many 21st century paranormal investigators, however, Brown doesn't mind a little high-tech assistance. She uses recording devices and various types of cameras. Brown says if you don't have some tangible evidence, people aren't going to believe you. And getting that evidence has become her great white whale. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Benz.
You invoke spirit to help. The folk they represent owes their own awful. You will be a boy hands.
Get these levels right, man.
We'll find
Sounds
out.
All right. People are.
Any complaints in the chat room?
No, I really want to thank all the wonderful people in the chat room tonight who've been kind of helping me out. I've been kind of monitoring the show. They've been through them. They've been listening to the show, and
yes, I miss you guys.
Yeah, Bonnie will be back next week in full force. We may have been able to hook you up, but you know, sorry.
Eh.
But no, thanks guys for helping me out and kind of monitoring the levels here and helping me, because this is kind of a new. We got a new board here, so we're working the glitches and stuff out of it. So hopefully it sounds all right. If it don't, well, we'll try to get it right next time. Doug, what's going on here? Who do we have here?
Well, as you know, first of all, as you know, we are broadcasting live from the Strait Farmhouse, which is the home of the Garden City Historical Museum in Garden City, Michigan.
Yes, yes, yes.
As you know, Ralph, the ghost or whatever, is milling about. Maybe he'll chime in at
some
point.
Sure isn't the ghost dog? That sounds like a dog, like Ralph.
Sounds like what a dog would say.
Next.
Maybe his name's by his dog.
Sounds like what a drunk guy would do.
And maybe he'll chime in at any moment. And of course, the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008 is presented by the Michigan Ghost Watchers.
Cindy Blake's group, thank you for
Cindy Blake's group, and they've done
taking care of us and giving us this wonderful room to do the show in tonight. It's really
absolutely incredible. And of course, all the guests were, the guests were essentially. I guess they probably didn't know it that they were going to be on a radio show, but we've basically taken the speaker lineup from the Michigan Ghost or the Michigan Paranormal Conference 2008, and we sort of turned that into this show as
well.
A
we let them know.
But
we didn't like just hijack.
It's like a twofer,
Really, they sent me out.
Oh, by the way, you're
going to
be on the show for half
here.
An hour. There is a little bit of logistics involved, and we want to thank all the speakers, including our next speaker here, for joining us and hanging out with us tonight.
Yes, we have Bishop Greg Haggart in the studio, or in the dining room of the Straight Farmhouse. And Bishop Haggart is a doctorate of theology student at TBI. Is this an old one, or is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good. Bishop Haggart is a doctorate of theology student at TBI. He had his first life or death experience with a demon in 1993. Since then, he is devoted to the study of demonology and exposing the truth of their existence. Greg has advised famous investigators such as Shannon Sylvia of GHI, and is a colleague to Keith and Sandra Johnson of TAPS and NEAR. His website is www.greghaggart.com. That's GREGHAGGART.com. Mm-hmm. And we heard his speech just, an hour or two ago.
Wow. And profound, I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Bishop Haggart.
Thanks, guys.
Do we call you Bishop Haggart, or can we
do you go by
for the radio? I mean, how does it work? I don't know.
We just want to show you the proper respect.
Yeah, you can just call me Greg.
Okay, hey, Greg. We'll go by Greg.
The author name is G.P. Haggart.
But,
man. I'm American.
That's awesome. So you obviously had a profound experience, and it led you down a path. When you were growing up before 1993, did you ever think that anything like this would ever happen?
No, I didn't. It's just a regular Joe and living in America, just, you know, hoping to live life to the fullest and go to college, get a good degree, and then boom, you know, something supernatural happens to you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Do you believe this happened to you? I mean, we're not trying to put you on the couch here, but do you believe that this this happened to you? Why? I want people to feel that way. I mean, do you believe, you know, it sounds like, you know, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to, you know, take care of myself, do something with my life, you know, like you just said. But then this thing happened to you, and do you believe it happened for a reason, though? I mean, that you're here for a specific reason like this. Do you believe that there, you know, I guess we have to say synchronicity as far as the situation. Do you believe that this happened to you for a reason?
Well, if anybody reads the book of the books of Esther and Ruth, you're mm-hmm. going to find God's providence, and He always has a plan for anybody. It may seem like a time period of torment in your life, mm-hmm. but there's always a good outcome to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was like a jump start into what He wanted me to do mm-hmm. later in life. And when it happened to me, it propelled me forward to, out of curiosity, okay, what was this? What happened to me?
Yeah.
And for the next 15 years, I just did research, and I just, it was that kind of personal revenge, like, how can I get back at them? How can I hurt them?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to research, find out what I can, anything I can, and not just for my own personal gain, but to help others that are, because I know that the paranormal field right now is very popular.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to get into demonology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just starting into that transgression.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be curious about it even more. Okay, what's the demonic? And so any investigators, I was just surprised. My wife just told me that I spoke for 20 minutes, and then the rest of it was all questions.
It was.
People
blew me away. I noticed that too. You spoke for a few minutes only, like you said, 20 minutes, and the rest of the time, people were raising their hands, asking really good questions too. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I had to apologize because I was actually sitting behind you for a vast majority of it, and then I just really had to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, people are asking questions now. It's like in between questions. I'm going to run outside. So I ran out real quick, and I didn't come back in only because it was already rude of me, and two rudes don't make a right. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating because you, obviously, from 1993 to now, what is it, 15 years?
15 years.
So a decade and a half. You've obviously not been like just watching the Travel Channel in October because I'm making a point.
Shot that one.
Because I've talked to people who call themselves demonologists who appear to watch the Travel Channel in October.
We touched on that briefly. I'm sure we'll get into it here too.
Yeah,
we got a break we're talking for before you came on.
You exhibited, you quoted, obviously you quoted scripture, which you're very familiar with. It's your life's work, right? Your life's path is study of scripture. And you quoted many different experts and texts and resources while talking about, you know, the history, the theory, the, you know, everything about demons and not just demons. It was a lot more than that.
Well,
but
Nephilim. That's one thing you talked about.
Very interested in that. So this was a wide variety. I mean, that really does look like, to me, it looked like 15 years worth of study in 20 minutes. I mean, you of course, you couldn't tell us everything, but it really did exhibit such a wide array of knowledge that you have worked toward and then shared with us at the conference. It was amazing, and that I have to commend you on, because that was so refreshing to hear.
Well, thank you.
And we have, like we were talking about earlier, one of the things, and I think this is really important. This is why I think we get into this a lot when it comes to demonology. And like I said a second ago, we were talking during the break, and you're actually working on a book, from what I have here, to help paranormal investigators understand more about demons should they encounter them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's for a paranormal investigator. I would never consider myself a demonologist. I'm not qualified for it in any way. I have my experience. I've read and done my things too, but by no means will I ever put the title demonologist on myself. It's just.
Well, I think that's just, first of all, darn scary. I don't want to attract.
Well, yeah, but we all know there are a lot of people that read two books and then all of a sudden they're a demonologist.
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of these people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and somebody or other had a business card, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, like, you know, head demonologist or something. And who was I talking? Was I talking to Nathan or Sean or somebody? I was talking to somebody from another radio show, and they're like, how can someone be the head demonologist of a group? Because that means that you've got more than one. And they don't just grow on trees. There's, like, literally decades of study.
Yeah.
There's experience that has to be gained, which takes time, as you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, experience.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
hopefully the spiritual background and knowledge and fortitude and belief system and to get through that experience. Because these are not everyday experiences. This isn't the, you know, that, oh, you know, the clock stopped. You know, or, mm-hmm, oh, you know, a plate flew off the wall.
Right.
This is, you're not dealing with something like that, just a poltergeist or or some PK ability or anything like that. Oh. This is heavy stuff. And from what you were talking about, this is stuff going back to the ancient times.
Yeah.
This is stuff from before the beginning of us.
There was a lot of scripture you talked about.
So I'm talking, this is heavy stuff, and I don't think that everybody who writes that on their business card is necessarily a demonologist.
I hope all these new demonologists that read, like, a couple books and then go out into the paranormal realize that they're not actually demonologists.
Right.
Because demonology, just like angelology, just like divinity, just like ministry, and so on, are all actually branches off of one study, which is called theology.
Mm-hmm.
And which I'm going for is a PhD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the whole study deals with that for pastorships, for any other religion. There's Islam, there's Judaism. They all have branches off of their studies, which is they call it demonology also. So mm-hmm, it's not just a study on its own. It's mainly, it was originally part of a religion or religions.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Islam, they call their malevolent spirits, which are not actually always evil. They believe that they're much like us. We can be both good and evil. And they call these entities jinn.
Mm-hmm.
J-I-N-N. And
I have actually heard that term before from, mm-hmm, Clyde Lewis. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But there.
Well, that's because somebody.
I had to illustrate my vast vocabulary.
But yeah, but that was from somebody.
He had to show
had
how smart he was.
That sorry. Was from somebody who had a gin in a jar or something like that.
Yeah.
And selling it on eBay. So it was.
Sorry, Craig.
It came to our.
I think I've heard of that.
Sphere of knowledge through this bizarre story, which is.
Which in no way makes us demonologists.
Again,
thank you.
We're not qualified. Sorry, Craig. What were you saying?
Oh, so,
so it is. It's a branch of study.
It's a branch of study. It's,
yeah,
it's,
and
it's a study, but it's meant for a greater study, so to speak. So, like, so pastors that have a degree in theology, they also, in some way, shape, or form, know demonology. They know angelology. They know divinity. They know a systematic theology. It's all a bunch of, you know, it's difficult to explain.
No, that's fine. What I understand.
Well, instead of that, one thing
well,
that
actually,
you...
Well, actually, I didn't mean to hit you up, Doug, but there's a question from the chat room.
Yes.
If you want to ask this question. I think this might be an easy one for a man of your experience, but Terry from Virginia Paranormal.
Hi, Terry.
From
our good girl, good friend of ours. She says, basically, why does saying a demon's name give them power? What do you know why that you say if you
there
say
is it, something
like
about
Beetlejuice,
names
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice? Beetlejuice.
Well, yeah, more than that.
Yeah,
there is something about names and demons, at least in Hollywood. So, is there what's up with that?
Well, just like Jesus' name, it has power because he's over a kingdom. Satan has power because. He's over. His name's powerful because he's over a kingdom. If you were walking into a crowd and you said the name Doug,
people would laugh.
And there's like
there's
100 people in this room, and you say the name Doug. There's going to be at least maybe 5-10 people that are going to turn their heads toward you.
Yeah.
But if you have, if you be more specific, and you say your surname, Doug, so on. One person is going to turn your name. So if you are specifically talking to that demon, for example, Ornius, you know, and that you have that demon's complete attention, and you are directing all of your words, because in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the full armor of God. We have our tongues have power. The sword, it's called the sword of the Spirit. It's actually between the exorcist and the demon is a war of words because they are trying to use their power of persuasion or temptation to manipulate the surrounding areas around them while the exorcist or demonologist is actually speaking to them and they're using those things of the spirit, which is love, peace, and joy, because you cannot defeat evil with evil. You can only defeat evil with good.
Excellent. That really and that clears it up a lot. I mean, seriously, the name gives a name has power, and I think that
because
really
it singles
it.
Out.
It singles out. Yeah.
So that everything you say.
Well, how many people
after
are named?
That.
What was the name you said? Osiris. What was the name you said?
Osiris was an Egyptian guy.
That was a constellation. Too.
Ornius. He's from the Testament of Solomon.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a powerful name. Not too many of them are named that either. Too. So you're going to have, like you said, you're going to have his full attention because, well, that's his name.
And then when you say the word of God in that case, after that, it's hitting him.
Yeah. To show how powerful our words are, there was a study done in China where they took two jars, filled them with rice. And to one, the students said curse words to it. And the other one, they said positive words, like thank you and everything. And after 30 days, the rice that they cursed turned completely black, while the other one was fresh.
Really?
So if I sat here and I cursed at you, which I'm not going to.
Well, I'm used to go right ahead.
I mean, I'm going to start invoking a part of you that the Bible calls the flesh. You're going to draw your wrath out. And you're going to get angry. But if I start saying positive things to you, you know, out of love, out of compassion, out of, you're going to be more positive positively
charged.
Yeah, charged.
Yeah, charged. Yeah.
So that's what we do in the church. The pastor's not up there trying to get money out of your pocket. What you do at Sunday service when you go there, the pastor's job as the shepherd is trying to charge everyone with the Holy Spirit, trying to get everybody to drive them so they can get through the rest of the week all whole, all mm-hmm. positive. And so they can take all that home with you. Instead of going to a cemetery, picking up evil spirits, and then coming back home and having something negative, you can go to church, mm-hmm. grab something positive, and bring it back home.
Well, and that I can really identify with that, and I'm going to put Doug on the spot here, but how they show up, I mean, no, we've always said that Doug's kind of like the guy, he's the positive guy in our group of ragtags that we have here. I mean, I have my attitude, and in case you couldn't tell, sometimes I get cranky, right? I get kind of angry and cranky, and I get negative, whereas Doug will kind of always offset that.
It's rare that I get negative.
Well, unless we're in a restaurant.
I do.
Unless we're in a restaurant.
And they forget something. Or they,
don't crimp his napkins like at a complete 90-degree angle, Doug is going to put a fist through the wall. But no, Doug generally is a very positive person, and he's always got good things to say. He's always got, look at the good side of everything. Mm-hmm. So it offsets things. Bonnie is Bonnie.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's a yin and yang thing kind of that between us as far as running the show is concerned. I mean, as main host, that, we can kind of offset each other, and he kind of helps me out. I know that. I've told you, God, I'd be killing people for you, man. But he charges me.
And it works back and forth.
Well, Bonnie does the same thing. I'm totally kidding by you. I don't want to leave you out here.
I love you, Scott.
That's a good way to look at it.
Speaking of positive things, tell us, because we've got only a few minutes. What did you think of the Michigan Paranormal Conference? The people who were here, people were asking questions. So you have a feeling about this conference. What did you think of the conference?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, I'd like to see another one soon or next year or mm-hmm. however they want to do it. And more professionals in the area of demonology, because it's going to get popular.
Mm-hmm. It already is.
And the key word being professional.
I mean, this is from people who work in the paranormal media, and we're seeing the stuff. I mean, we're there, and we're hearing so much. That's why I asked you. I'm like, what's going on? Demonology is like a new hot topic now.
Oh, yeah.
So it's right there. You're right on the money with that.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely.
Because we've met people that, 1 month they're not a demonologist and 6 months later they are, and that scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't just read a passage or something and then, oh, guess what? I've been enlightened. I'm now a demonologist. You study.
To be a demonologist, I think you have to have one or two major experiences.
Yeah.
And
it takes experiences,
study, research. I think that these demonologists that are out right now saying that they're demonologists are going out for the thrill of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a real demonologist will go out and try to help people. We'll try to, the demon reacted to this, so, I'm going to go back, look at my library I have at home, and figure out what other responses, go back. But before I do that, there's a similar event over here in this woods or something like that, and I'm going to try it here. I'm going to test this out, this theory, and I'm going to go back and analyze it more, study up on it, go back and help these people.
When your textbook is out, your mechanical demonology.
We need to have you on the show again, I think.
When it comes out, when the project comes to fruition and it's about ready or it's out, I want to have you back on the show to remind people. It'll be over the phone. It won't be. You don't have to, come here.
Well, we're in Michigan, though. I mean,
over the studio. But, to remind people about this book, because this it really will assist paranormal investigators, ghost hunters, and researchers, and people.
There's a lot of my own research in there. Also.
Yes, on not only learning about the topic, but also on what to do if you should encounter. Because the people out in the field doing this stuff, you don't know what you could run into, and if you run into something and you don't have the experience, you need a book like this. You need this as background, and also for the the advice what to do and who to call or who to contact. And I think that's a fantastic idea.
What's the website,
and
Doug?
The website is www.greghaggart.com. And so we'll be watching that, of course, for updates. And I want you to come back on when
there's also another website. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, it's cool.
It's called demonhire.tv.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
And I hook up with other paranormal investigators to go out and pull a pants down Satan.
All right. Thank you.
I like it.
Oh, wait. I just took it to a whole new level. All right.
Thank you so much, Bishop Greg Haggard, for joining us. We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For 1 second. Wow. This is flying.
I know it is.
Next.
We got to start just doing these half an hour things. This is like just rocking.
I also like having the people right in front of us.
Yeah, it helps. It does help. I have to agree. Doug, what's up?
We're going
to
talk with Lon. Oh, gosh, Lon. I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Hey, he's not here. When? We told him 5 minutes before. There he is. Get in here.
We're going to talk with this gentleman who you can't.
How do you pronounce it, Lon?
How do you say your name?
Lon Keene of the Ghostwatchers. We're going to talk with Lon about genealogy, right?
Yep.
Stuff like that. Right after this break.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.